From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of March, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this program, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He'll also join us tomorrow at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics, and we'll hear about the cash grain market. It's a strange one still, with Greg Johnson of TGM, and there's an important little tidbit in Greg's commentary that we'll have to turn to the Illinois Grain and Feed Association to figure out, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today at $7.50¾, finished down 3½ cents. July at $7.27¼, up 6. December 13¼ higher at $6.42¾. May soybeans at $16.59½, a penny lower. July up 1 at $16.34, and November beans up 2¾ at $14.53. Bean meal futures down $1.70 day today at $458.70, and bean meal at $74.22. Up $1.42. Don't worry, it's not all that calm. The wheat futures are up 85 cents. That's limit higher at 12.94, and that May contract, July 77¼ higher at 12.52½, and December for the soft red, 68¾ higher at $10.48¾. Hard red at 12.51½ in the lead May. Nearby, that is, up 37, and July there at 12.33¾, 59¼ cents higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $137.90, up $2.12½. The feeders at $159.67½, up $2.42½, and lean hogs at $100.27½, down 17½ cents for the day. Crude oil at $119.24 a barrel, up $3.56. Diesel fuel, 14½ cents higher, $3.92½. That's actually heating oil. Gasoline on the RBOB at $3.57⅛ is 3¼ cents higher. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace. Well, at least corn and soybeans kind of looked normal today. Wheat certainly did not. What happened in the overnight and the day trade?
Well, the market continues to watch the breadbasket of the Black Sea, Ukraine and Russia, and you know, still a lot of concern there, particularly, you know, what's taking place, and it's an emotional roller coaster if you're watching the news media. But basically, the world's still trying to digest that and gather some coverage. The significance is that, you know, we got four things going here in the complex. One is Russia, Ukraine. Two is a smaller South American crop. Third, we've got a dry Western wheat belt. And fourth, we have inflationary concerns, you know, around the world. And, you know, it's been quite some time since we've seen this take place. I've not seen it, but if you go back a ways, and this is brought up, one of the analysts or news writers said it was just comparable to the early 70s when we had the great grain robbery with Russia coming in and buying just grain left and right. And at the same time, war-wise, we had the Cold War taking place with them, and then plus two, we had the, you know, the tail end of the Vietnam War. Weather-wise, that's when El Nino started to come into effect, and the significance of that story is it's a warming of the waters in the anchovy. Boats came back empty, and other than pizza, at that time we was using a lot of fish meal before we moved into the soybean meal market, and so that was a major thing there. Then also, too, we had inflation start to spike up in the 70s, so you got to go to the early 70s to see something comparable with this, and there's a lot of panic and urgency to get some coverage on, particularly the wheat. Chicago May wheat's just been locked limit up. Here and tomorrow, today the limit was 85 cents. I think they're expanding those to $1.30, $1.35 a bushel. So that we should be able to get this wheat market in the May to trade. July on back, and all the other exchanges have been seeing their contracts trade. But the corn and beans started out higher last night. Saw a little bit of a backing and filling here. And there was some talk that, you know, China and Taiwan. Maybe China's financing Russia, you know, all kinds of things. In fact, we've seen the continued stories about maybe releasing some ground out of the CRP, maybe France releasing some ground out of their fallow land program. We're starting to hear this food versus fuel. And hopefully the public will get educated on this and understand that the farm price is just a fraction of the end price. The inflation and the big up move is between the farm and the retail shelf. So hopefully the leftist here won't get too excited and shoot and ask questions later, Todd.
Yeah, the food versus fuel thing is something that I talk with folks often about, reminding them that about a third of the corn crop goes to feed livestock. About a third actually ends up in your tank as ethanol, that 10% blend that you are filling up at the gas stations. And then 10 to 12% is exported overseas, and there's usually around 10 or 12% left. Over maybe as much as 15, depending on the year, a lot less some years, a lot more in some, that is just left over in case that we need it for the next year. However, if you think about the high price of energy at the moment, what has happened in Ukraine and Russia that has caused part of that, and then extrapolate out bringing the wheat and the corn from Russia out of the marketplace, it could cause some high-priced food at the grocery store in the coming months, and that also might cause demand destruction, meaning there could be some issues related to feed and livestock in the future. Have you been hearing anything on that front?
Well, you know, yeah, that's a concern, and the best cure for high prices is high prices, just like the best cure for low prices is low prices. We've not seen anything specific. I will tell you that we did visit with a producer who markets corn to a chicken feeder, and that the chicken guy said they won't pay over, you know, much over $8.50 a bushel. It does not pencil. They cannot raise their price that much and pass those costs on. So I imagine the corn, the $8 to $8.50, is going to start to see that kick in there, Todd.
So we will have to watch that very closely. What else has been on your scope for the day to keep track of?
Well, one positive, optimistic situation. I saw an article about Ukraine's releasing some export license to ship grain out by rail to the West. So, man, I mean, you talk about, you know, hanging in there and keep things going. That's a huge plus, and I hope that occurs. I hope that occurs. But that was a news item there that needs noted. Then, too, we kind of forgot, I guess, that we've got a crop report on Wednesday. We are going to have some revisions. Ideas that the trade expectations are going to see a little bit of a lower carryout estimate. Then, too, we've got a big meeting over at the Beef House tomorrow there. A lot of fine people is going to be there to make some presentations, answer some questions for you. And one thing I'm going to do again that we've always been doing is pass out some long-term supply-demand balance sheets and long-term price charts. And the reason I mention that is if you look at the price chart and you go back in history, whenever you see a sharp up, straight up, oftentimes, majority of the time, the market comes straight back down. So I want to make sure if you're there, make sure you get one of those charts from us.
Indeed. And we're looking forward to having you there tomorrow. Should be a great day.
You bet.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He will join us tomorrow, Tuesday, at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Sure looking forward to you being there as well. If you've got your tickets, doors open at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. We start the program at 8:30 a.m. Central, 9:30 Eastern. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. And there right now, you'll find a link to tonight's webinar with Gary Schnitke, Nick Paulson, and Bruce Sherrick about your crop insurance and ARC and PLC decisions. You can register for that today, right now. It's a 7 o'clock webinar tonight. Registration online at willag.org. Mark Russo now joins us from Everstream Analytics. Thank you, Mark, for being with us today on this Monday afternoon.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin in South America. Can you work your way northward from Argentina through Brazil, please?
Yeah, for Argentina, the headline there is the continued improvement in soil moisture across the belt this week as the region remains quite active. Again, the pattern began to turn more active last week and continues here for a second week, and that will continue to be beneficial for late developing soybeans. It does look like the pattern begins to turn drier next week, and so, but that's not of any concern at this time. In southern Brazil, similar to Argentina, also the pattern has turned more active, looks to stay that way both this week and even next week as well. So that'll benefit both late developing soybeans, but also the safrinha corn crop, especially in areas of Paraná and southern Mato Grosso do Sul. The rains over the next week or two don't look enough to replenish fully the soil moisture that's been lost during this drought that's been ongoing here for quite some time, but certainly it'll at least provide some relief there as more and more planting of safrinha corn continues across that area. And then elsewhere across Brazil, generally, you know, near to slightly below normal rainfall, which will benefit harvesting of summer crops, as well as reduce any kind of logistical disruption there for harvested crops, yeah, onshore and offshore.
Here in the United States, are things changing in the hard red winter wheat growing regions at all as we approach spring?
Well, Todd, we're not seeing any signs of significant changes across the Plains hard red winter wheat belt. Again, that area has been exceptionally dry much of the winter, even back into the fall. And looking ahead here, it's more of the same with no sign of any meaningful precip that would make a difference for the belt.
What kind of conditions do you see in the central and the eastern corn belt?
Yeah, overall, much of the central and eastern corn belt will continue to be in an active pattern, meaning active with frequent chances for precipitation. Some of the northern areas, it will be in the form of snow. Southern areas, some risk of severe weather, such as what we've seen here recently. And but also temperatures here turning colder than normal. That's already started to occur and will begin to expand across more of the Midwest here as we go through this week. But does look rather short in duration as next week temperatures look to gradually moderate again across the region.
The bulk of the wheat crop on the planet is grown in the northern hemisphere. We should check in across Europe, through the Black Sea, and I suspect into India as well.
Yeah, for Ukraine and Russia, really there has not been any kind of soil moisture or any moisture issues there for the wheat crop. They've had favorable weather over this past winter. The driest areas have been further west in the areas of Spain, and even the North Africa winter wheat crop had been on the dry side. Those areas are actually improving now, and so that is at least reducing concerns. But all in all, no major moisture issues right now for winter crops across Europe or the Black Sea region. And that's also true in areas of India, the northern portion of India, in the heart of their winter crop producing areas have had a favorable winter with adequate moisture and no real extreme temperatures that would be problematic to the crop.
Thank you so much, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
You're welcome.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. A quick reminder that tomorrow is our Beef House Spring Outlook with the Farm Doc team. If you've got your tickets, please show up in that 7:30 time frame, Central 8:30 time in the Eastern time zone. That's actually when the doors open. We'll begin an hour later with the program, but we'd like you to have some time to talk with each other and to have some coffee and rolls in the morning before we get started. So those are the times, 7:30 our doors open, 8:30 in the Eastern time zone. And before that, you might get a primer on crop insurance if you'd like to, tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time. I'll be online on a webinar hosting an event with three of the folks that you'll see tomorrow. They include Gary Schnitke, Bruce Sherrick, and Nick Paulson talking about crop insurance and ARC and PLC decisions as it's related to the Ukraine issue, kind of their last look at what this will be like. You'll hear part of it again tomorrow, but if you'd like to sign up for the webinar, you can do that either at the farmdocdaily.illinois.edu website or just go to willag.org and scroll down and you'll find a link to get yourself subscribed this evening. On this Monday, let's check in on the cash grain market with Greg Johnson. He is at TGM Total Grain Marketing here in Champaign County, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Greg. I bet farmers are just chomping at the bit to sell everything.
Not today. Cash basis has dropped dramatically since Friday morning. And so the resulting 30-cent, 40-cent drop in cash bids has really put a damper on farmer selling today. So not very much action today.
Yeah, well, so tell me, I think it's pretty easy to understand, but tell me why that happened.
Well, all the end users, your processors, your exporters, your livestock feeders can only take in so much grain in a short period of time, say the March-April timeframe, and they just stopped bidding for corn in the March, or they didn't stop bidding, but they lowered their bid dramatically to try to incent elevators and farmers to hold on to that grain into May, June, and July rather than bring it all in March or April. The problem is there's a big inverse in the market, and so if we have to roll hedges, anybody that has hedges in the May and has to roll to the July, they're taking a 25 to 30 cent hit. And so elevators and farmers are trying to sell as much grain as possible now for the next 60 days so that they don't have to roll those hedges. And of course, you know, the end users only want so much grain every month. They don't want 8 months worth of supply in the next 2 months. So they've had to drop the bids dramatically to try to incent farmers and elevators to hold on to that, some of that grain into the deferred months.
And how often have you had to tell a producer that today?
about every phone call, I would say.
I'm sure that is indeed the case. That gives us really kind of the lay of the land at this point, and it's related to the high price and the grain availability and the war in Ukraine. And there's another issue going forward, I'm wondering, with new crop, related to the potential high prices later on. But what kinds of problems do elevators in particular face going through the summer months, do you suppose?
Well, the one potential issue, it's not an issue yet, but it could be if prices continue to go higher, is the amount of money that elevators have to borrow to maintain margin calls in Chicago. For example, if we buy corn at $6 a bushel, we hedge that corn on the Chicago Board of Trade. And if corn goes to $7 a bushel, we have to send another dollar a bushel to Chicago to margin that account. Now, when we sell the corn in the fall for $7, let's say, we make our dollar in the cash market and we lose a dollar in the futures market, but we're perfectly hedged. So we get the money back, but it's just more of a timing issue that we have to send that money to Chicago or to the banks for the next 5-6 months until we get that back. And that all costs money, and there's a limit as to how much money banks will be willing to loan elevators, even though they understand the whole system of hedging. There's still a limit as to the dollar amount. And so elevators ran into this a little bit in 2012, the last time we had extremely high prices, and that's the fear, is that if prices continue to go higher, that we could see some curtailment of how much money is available to hedge grain. And if you can't hedge grain, obviously we're not going to speculate, so then there would be no bids out there. But we're not to that point yet, and people are, you know, thinking about that ahead of time now, so it shouldn't catch us by surprise. So I think people are trying to, you know, work with their bankers now and try to make financing arrangements so that that kind of thing does not happen again this year.
Yeah, so the problem there is that once you get to the point where the bank says no, despite the fact that you're perfectly hedged and will get the money back, is that you can't really purchase more. correct?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because if we bought more without hedging, then we would be speculating. And that's a surefire recipe to lose money.
If I remember correctly, you guys, I mean, you have to hedge, right? In the state of Illinois, that is.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, you're allowed a speculative position of like 50,000 bushels over the whole company. So, I mean, but that's nothing. I mean, when you're hedging millions of bushels a day, 50,000 is nothing.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM Total Grain Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. Now, just because I was thinking through this, and I know in the state of Illinois, or at least I'm pretty certain in the state of Illinois, that the grain code requires that grain elevators take those positions so that they're not speculating in the market. That is not really the case, I think, in other states. And so we decided to check with Jeff Atkinson. He is the executive director for the Illinois Grain and Feed Association. Jeff, can you run me through the grain code in Illinois and what it requires?
Sure. Be happy to. Just, you know, real briefly, and as it relates to this particular topic, the Illinois Grain Code does require elevators, you know, to hedge their grain, to be in position. There's a certain amount of wiggle room in that, as far as, you know, how much you're long or short, because it's awful hard for an elevator to hedge exactly bushel for bushel when you're dealing with certain size contracts on the Chicago Board of Trade. But yes, we are required to hedge the grain, you know, have an offsetting position with the futures market. And now, it's not that way with every other state. You just hedge state by state kind of thing. Of course, some states may not have depends on their regulations and what it is, and people really need to be able to check with their State Department of Agriculture or the agency that would govern their particular transactions, or perhaps their state grain and feed association.
And this grain code was put in place because elevators have gotten into issues in the past, and it's a protection for both the grain elevators and the farmers.
Absolutely. I believe it has made the, in many, many respects, has made the industry here in Illinois stronger than perhaps some other places. But there unfortunately have been some situations. It's been years ago, but there have been situations where elevators perhaps were doing something incorrectly. They didn't have the limits in place years ago, and this has been put into place to help put guardrails on it for the industry, as well as help protect the producers.
And one final issue: has the Grain and Feed Association talked with elevators this year about how to mitigate issues should they show up later in the year based on the very high price of grain?
Well, I think we just had our annual convention, and I know that was a topic there at the convention, where individuals were, you know, both in the halls and in the meeting rooms talking about this particular issue. But, our main message probably to our members is make sure you're talking to your banker, understand what their limits are and what their guidelines are, and work with them on a specific situation as you go through this marketing year.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jeff Atkinson is the executive director of the Illinois Grain and Feed Association. Of course, you've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org.